Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Simon Says. You just follow instructions, specific instructions, and what happens? You stay in. The difference in that game and real life is sometimes the simple instructions that you follow and who gives you those instructions can literally be life or death or can affect your whole life. And people say, oh, whatever, I can do what I want to and it's all going to be okay in the end. And as it turns out, yeah, maybe. But why are you going to waste so much life ignoring so many simple truths, so many simple instructions? Go to Matthew chapter 4. Now, if you can remember the Simon Says principle and you can apply it to the scripture and think about what the scripture tells you, what the Bible tells you to do, and then you go into the world and the world says something else, but it does not have a prefix with it. They cannot claim this is what Jesus says to do. They just say, do this. And we go, okay, everybody did it, so I'll do it. And then how's that work out for us? Not too good. You've got to figure out the places where Jesus, as you're going through scripture, where he says something, and then he expects that there's going to be some obedience, some follow through with what he said. And there's a ton of these I might get to, but we're going to start with just a few here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say. What did he preach? What did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it's kind of a Simon says, but in this case, Jesus says, repent. What does it mean to repent? Change your mind. Don't go the way you've been going. The way you're going is determined by what you're thinking. You change your mind, that changes your life. It changes your heart, changes everything. It changes your direction, and everything changes. So if you repent, then you decide that you're going to listen to what God says, not what the world says. Very simply. So people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. I don't get what this is all about. It is this simple. Just see what he says and do what he says. And you say, and then I'm in. You're in. It can't be that simple. It's that simple. Look at the next verse. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, now this is how simple this gets. Jesus looks at them and says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Why? Because he said, follow me. Now look at your life and look back over your life and ask yourself, did he tell me to do something and I said no, and how has that worked out for me from that point on? It's usually not too good. So Jesus comes along to you and says, repent. What'd you do with that? Then he says, follow me. What'd you do with that? Are you right there behind him? Are you tucked in saying, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, sir, whatever you say, Jesus says, that's what I do, and here we go. You say, well, but it's got to be more complicated than that. It's not that complicated. You say, but what if he starts to go somewhere I don't want to go? He's stuck going with you everywhere he doesn't want to go. Because when you become a Christian, he moves in. Now he's stuck with you. So it'd be better for you to be stuck with him than him stuck with you. You say, but I'm going to end up in some tough places. Think about the tough places you've already ended up. You know, something simple. Don't lie. Well, but you know, every once in a while, you just got to lie or things don't go well. Like they go better when you lie. Matthew chapter 14. Okay, so remember what I'm talking about. This thing is simple. Now you say, but what about all the other stuff in the Bible that seems so complicated? If you will not do the simple stuff, the complicated, seemingly complicated stuff is just mind-boggling. But when you begin to do the simple stuff, the other stuff starts to make sense. Matthew 14, verse 21. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So he just fed the 5,000, which technically is how many men, but it was a mob way greater than that. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So you guys get in the boat, go on across. I'll say goodbye to the multitudes who are here and I'll meet you or whatever. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So he lets them make their way across the water, says goodbye to the multitude, and he goes alone to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So he prays, and by the time he's done praying, the boat's in the middle of the lake. And so how's he going to get to the boat? Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. You say, I don't believe that. That's not possible. Okay, guys, now listen close. If you can't get over and in your head that Jesus can do the impossible, you're not going to follow him. You say, these things can't be true. It's not possible. If you say, well, yeah, I believe God created the heavens and the earth, the universe, all that, then how hard is it for the creator to walk on his own water? So don't get hung up on the impossible, because what you're going to end up needing is something impossible to happen in your own life, and you better have a God who can do the impossible. It just seems kind of matter of fact. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. So you're walking down the shore, you step onto the water, and you keep going. How is that possible? I don't know, but it's possible for Jesus. Turns out it's possible for somebody else. I've tried it a few times. It did not work out so well for me. Keep reading. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary. The fourth watch, he walks out on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. Why did they think it was a ghost? Because nobody can walk on the water. It can't be really Jesus. It's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It's I. Do not be afraid. It's not a ghost. Don't be afraid. It's me. Okay, so what's your immediate instinct going to be? Simon says what? And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Tell me to come to you on the water. Give me an order. Peter's really full of it, if you get right down to it. Like, okay, great. Jesus, well, that's not enough for Jesus to walk on the water. I want to walk on the water. So he said, Jesus says what? Come. All right, come on. Now, remember, all this is going on. We're quiet. It's calm in here. This is a storm. It's windy. It's waves. Jesus out there splashing on top of the water. Peter has this thought. Oh, I'm not sure it's him, but I'm going to take a shot at this. Tell me to come and, you know, if you can do it, I can do it. And look what happens. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. So his first request is, call me to you so I can walk on the water. Only indefinitely did that work out. And now he's saying, Lord, save me. I'm going under in a storm. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, now look at what he's saying in a storm in the water. And I think Jesus is still standing on the water and pulling Peter up, helping him. And now they're having a conversation in the middle of the storm and the waves. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Is he the Son of God because he can walk on water? He's the Son of God because he can do anything. So if Jesus says to you, come to me, walk on the water, what is your initial thought? It's not possible. Or is it possible? Is there anything that Jesus could tell you to do that you wouldn't at least attempt to do without first going, well, that's crazy, that's irrational, that doesn't make any sense, nobody believe it, I don't even believe it. We have all these disclaimers before we even get a shot at what he told us to do. What did he tell you to do? Whether it's impossible or not, that's not your problem. You and I cannot make the impossible happen because we're not God. But if we're given orders to do something that's impossible, then he has to come through giving those commands. So just do what he said to do. Now, you say, well, what is this about? It's about getting clear instructions and just doing the simple instructions. Stop explaining away why God cannot do what he told you to do and he said what he would do. Because you get to the end of your life and you drop dead, or Jesus returns and we stand there before him and he goes, okay, here's your exit interview, your entrance interview. So what was it about this instruction way back here that is so simple? What happened there? Because this is what I had planned. This is the follow through that I had. This is where I would have come through, but you doubted, you got afraid. Why'd you get afraid? I'm God. And we miss it. Now he loves us anyway, but what could have been? What could have been? Luke chapter 5. Now, this is one of the coolest things, and I'm going to read these back to back for you. Obviously, I'm weaving in here Simon saying things as well, if you haven't figured that out. But Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. So this is Simon's boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Like, dude, we've just washed our nets. What are we going to do that for? But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Like, this did not go well. Nevertheless, get you some neverthelesses going. Okay? So he gives the information to Jesus. Like, Jesus doesn't know this already. Master, we have fished all night long and caught nothing. There are a lot of fishermen. This is their life verse, by the way. They just don't tell anybody. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now look how simple this is. Master, he says, let down your net. Master, we fished all night. We caught nothing. But nevertheless, because you said to do it, I'll do it. You could be this close to a catch. No, I appreciate it, Master. You being God and everything, you probably, you know, there's no telling what's going to happen, but we're tired and whatever the blessing is, we're out. We don't want to clean the nets again because if you're wrong, then we learned a lesson, but now we got to start from scratch, so we're out. No, nevertheless, because you said it, we'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So their net's breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. There's so many fish. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Somehow catching those fish revealed to him who he was not. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish what they had taken. This is what's partially so sad about this story. The fish were more obedient than the people. These fish went to the school of fish that taught them to obey their creator, even if it cost them their life. You say, well, that's not true. Then where do you think the fish came from? Oh, they just got lucky. Oh, really? That's your life? You just got lucky? They're astonished with the catch which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. So when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Same story, a little bit more detail before Jesus saying, follow me. That's what happened. So sometimes people say, well, why would I follow Jesus? I got a better question for you. Why wouldn't you? Why would you not follow Jesus? What are you by yourself going to come up with that would be better than what Jesus has for you if you followed him? You say, but what if I die following him? What if it costs me my life? If that's his plan, you can't beat that plan. What if I suffer? I've said this repeatedly. You're going to suffer either way. You're not getting out without suffering. So it is better to suffer for doing what he wants you to do than doing what you want to do and not being what he wants. John 21. So now remember these stories I just read you. This is so crazy cool to me. So Jesus, they followed Jesus. They stayed with him. Everything goes pretty well. Peter's getting it. You say, well, what about the whole denying him? I'll read you that in a minute. Jesus has died on the cross, buried, raised from the dead. And then in John 21, verse 1, look at this. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. So he's appearing and disappearing, appearing and disappearing. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. This is not complicated. Bunch of men, Jesus is dead, raised from the dead, they know, but he's not around. What are we going to do? He said to wait for something. It hadn't come yet. So I'm going to go fishing. We'll go with you. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. Does this sound familiar? But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to the children, this is where I think there's a little bit of humor again in the Bible. Children, have you any food? Like, you know, if you knew, hopefully they did not, well, who knows what they thought, but oh, duh, look at our boat, you know, it's not heavy, it's up. Do you have any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, now look at this, cast the net on the right, you're on the wrong side of the boat. It's not what it means, but you see what I'm saying. Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Now you say, well, yeah, well, they knew it was Jesus. No, they didn't, not yet. They had had a similar experience years before. A man on the shore says, cast it on the other side, on the right side of the boat. And what did they do? They did what he said. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Something clicked, something about the story. Jesus opens his eyes, whatever it is. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Interesting, they start counting them. First story, they didn't count them. This time, for some reason, they count them. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of his disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now this is the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, and he starts in this, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love me. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. This back and forth. Because he had told, and we'll read this in just a second, about the denial. Okay, so what are we after? You've got to listen not for the Simon says, but for the Jesus says in your life. Now think about what you really want an answer on. If you could go into the throne room and say, I'd like to see this happen, or on an answer on this, what would that be? Is that really the answer Jesus is trying to give you? Is that even the question he would like to answer first? So what is the simple thing, if you go back in your life, that the Holy Spirit has said, hey, this is the thing, this is the answer. You asked me, I told you. Well, what about, not forget about what about all that. What are you going to do with the simple stuff? Let me read you another one. Matthew 28, big verse around here. Matthew 28, 19. Now, these are specific places where Jesus says things in the imperative command form. This is what I'm saying. Matthew 28, 19. Go therefore, or really what it translates is, as you are going, what did he say? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So what does that say? Make disciples. You say, well, I don't know what that is. Find out. John sitting over here will tell you it's a follower, a learner, and a reproducer. So you say, well, I'm making disciples. Then you are a follower, you're learning, and you're reproducing. And if you're not reproducing, you're not a disciple maker. You may be a Christian, but you're not a disciple maker. So you're not doing this. Well, but I just like kind of being blah, 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 blah. I was like, you know what? Your blah, 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 blah verse is not in there. You got to see what he says and say, okay, I'll embark on that. You say, well, how am I supposed to make a disciple if no one's helping me? Then get some help. And you say, well, why is this so important to you? It's not that it's important to me. It's important to him, or he wouldn't have said it. It's the deal. It's what he did with the 12. It's what he left them there to do. It's just what he said to do. It's so simple. Literally, our mission statement as a church is disciples making disciples. And that means locally, nationally, internationally, everywhere. If you find people on other planets, we're going there. So this is how simple this is. If you're not a follower, if he said follow, you're not following, you're out of line. If he said make disciples, you're not making disciples, you're not living the life that he intended. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Then figure out what's keeping you from doing it. It could be lazy, could be selfish, could be sin, could be you're tired, whatever it might be. Well, figure out, talk to somebody, go, wow, I don't have any desire to do this. What's wrong? I should have this instinct to multiply. It's that way physically. It should be that way spiritually. Kind of a spiritual puberty of sorts. I have not gotten verses for this, but I'm working on it. Matthew 26, verse 30. Jesus is about to be crucified. They're doing the Lord's Supper, that last Passover meal together. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So this is not in the room with dinner. This is outside going to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. We just did all that. I washed your feet. We ate the meal. We did the whole deal. But every one of you is going to be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Now, are you doomed because Jesus says something, or is Jesus saying something because he already knows what you're going to do? Is everybody with me? You say, well, Jesus tells Peter, keep reading, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. But Peter answered, Simon says, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. I am not like any of them. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, he should have left it alone, just that everybody's going to stumble. Now he says, well, okay, you want to go there. This night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. That's what you're going to do. The rest of them, I'm not going to tell them what they're going to do. They will stumble because of me. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all this. Oh, that's right. We will never deny you. And within hours, they're all caving. Now you say, well, he said they would stumble. Is that why they stumbled? No, they stumbled. He knew they were going to stumble. And that's why he said that. So was Peter doomed to do what he did, or did Jesus just know that's what was going to happen? So you say, well, then what if Jesus knows I'm going to screw up in the future? Of course he knows that, but that's not where he leaves it. And you say, well, is there an assumption I'm going to screw up? Kinda, because you're still in a human body and you're struggling. And you take Paul, who at the end of his life said, the thing I don't want to do, I do. The thing I want to do, I don't do. He'll deliver me from the body of this death. Like, it never ends. So he understands that. It's not that you end up being sinless, but you do end up sinning less, hopefully. And he also sees that. Let me give you a really simple one. And this is in John chapter 3. Now listen to this. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you what? You must be born again. Now you say, well, why are you reading that one? It's so simple.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
At an inauguration, a buddy of mine went to one of the balls at the inauguration. He happened to be there with an ambassador from Croatia, I believe it is, to the United States at this ball, inaugural ball. And this ambassador was with a group of my friends who were all strong believers. And he came up and said to them, why are you all so happy, so full of joy? And one of my friends took him back by a bathroom and explained why. And the guy became a Christian at the inaugural ball and came out. And this is how he expressed it. He said, I am again born. I am again born. Why is that so important? Because you must be again born or you will not make heaven. And see, this is where it becomes life and death. You go, oh, whatever, I'll be okay. I got my own ticket written. It doesn't work that way. Jesus shows up, lives, dies on a cross, buried, raised from the dead, says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you say you got another way? Good luck with that. There is no other way. You say, what about all these other world religions? All world religions lead to God. Only Jesus will get you in heaven. Everybody will end up with God. You'll face God, but you don't want to face God without Jesus. Now, what am I simply saying to you in this room and beyond? You got to be born again. You've got to be again born. The first time gets you on the planet, you have to be born a second time to get you in heaven. That simple. You say, well, I don't want to do that. That's your choice. But if you get any stirring whatsoever and you know there's some truth to that, then just if Simon says it, just do it. If Jesus says it, just do it. Change your whole life.
You say, but what about the uncertainty? What if, you know, what if you say no? And you end up in a real hell separated from God for eternity. And people say, well, how long is eternity? It is not about time. You just are. You're just going to be there. It's just forever.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.